to another episode of Truth News Radio Australia, coming to you on the 9th of August 2011, which is my mother's birthday. Happy birthday, Mum. Look, I've got a lot to talk about tonight. There's a hurricane of information blowing and swirling and threatening to basically, you know, kind of just suck us all into a state of paralyzed, you know, inability to function, because there's just so much coming from all directions. But tonight we're going to just try and wade through some of it, try and piece some of the bits together, and try to give a bit of analysis and reflection on what we see as being the key trends that are actually developing at this time. And joining me to sail through the gale is Josh Jackson. Welcome back to the show, Josh.
Thank you for having me, the inestimable Harold Fenton.
Well, indeed, indeed. It's a great pleasure, as always, to have you aboard.
So, first of all, happy birthday to your mother.
I'm sure she'll appreciate that.
What a fine lad she's raised.
Oh, thank you. Why, thank you, sir.
And, I got to say, though, you know, with all this stuff happening, I think we've got to look, when I say stuff, I'm talking the US is, you know, finally admitting that it's got a problem.
Yeah.
The European currency crisis is coming hard and fast down the line.
And, of course, the Australian share markets have had an Armageddon as well.
We've lost 10 cents off the Australian dollar compared to the US. It's gone back up a little bit now.
Well, the share markets collapsed at the end of last week. They collapsed again today being Tuesday, the 9th of August. There was another, I think, 5% drop in the share markets in the morning. Then there was this rebound. And at the by the end of the day, the markets here had actually gained about 0.1%. It was just like collapse followed by rebound. But, of course, that's the pattern of volatility that you see when there is a financial crisis happening.
Yeah, well, it's called the dead cat bounce.
And it will happen again and again and again. It will climb and it will sink and it will climb. And if you look back at the Great Depression, the cycles of shorter and shorter spikes and troughs became, you know, closer and closer together as the system basically became more and more unstable. And then finally, when the Great Depression finally settled in, and actually took several years, actually, there were these mini recoveries. I don't know if you've looked into that, but people think of the Great Depression as something that just happened suddenly one day. They think of the Great Crash of 29. It wasn't like that. It bounced back for a while, and everyone thought there was going to be a recovery. We're about the same time frames. If you look back from 2008 to now, as the beginning of the collapse, which became the Great Depression, to the full collapse, which occurred in about 1932.
Mm. And it's the thing about these bounces are that, I mean, you've got to look at this herd mentality, right? You see something collapsing, what are you going to, this is the bottom, let's buy it up. And so you start getting people buying it, and then again the rest of the people who got scared the first time went, it's gone back up a little, I'll sell now because I missed the first boat. And so they start selling, and then people start taking profits, and then it goes back up and down, and you get this sort of, it's like a bouncing ball slowly tightening the wavelength until it starts really petering out, it's really quite logical.
Well, yeah, it's a phenomenon. It's an expression of chaos theory. Like it does follow the patterns of chaos theory, but of course, having said that, it's not predictable, and that's why it's chaotic. That's what chaotic is. You can't predict it. But at the same time as that, and I do accept all that, But at the same time as that, I don't know about you, Josh, but I am deeply skeptical of the real mechanisms which have caused this to happen and are causing it to happen now, because I see the hand of something in our world, a hidden hand, and this is a phrase that's often been used, you know, a hidden hand trying to shape history. I see it very strongly at the moment, and I just really want to, you know, forget about any other, you know, pieces of information that I might bring, or any other key kind of like news story that I might uncover. I just want to try and communicate my sense, and it's a deep gut feeling, it's a deep foreboding, intuitive feeling that there is some force at work trying to create global chaos, and I mean deliberately create it. I don't believe it's all just happening as a result of random things. I'm looking at riots in London now, Birmingham now, other cities in the UK spreading out completely outside of where it began, no longer anything to do with the traditional races and race riot factors that have been as part of London and British society going back to the 1980s. This is not that. There is something else going on. This happened too suddenly, because it's very similar to what we see going on in the Middle East. Very similar, so similar that it's actually chilling. There are co-opted criminal elements destabilizing countries. That's my gut feeling. I may be wrong. Mm. And you can say, look, you're wrong, you're crazy. But I have a deep feeling that there is a destabilizing agenda here, and what they want to do out of that really scares me.
Well, you know, with all this information that we bring out and bring forth, the best bit of information I can say to people is to A, not be frozen in fear by all of this sort of stuff that's happening, but by taking it and thinking, right, well, look at what's happening around the world, time to prepare. And it's really quite easy. I mean, it's really, really easy. I, last weekend, basically dug a bed in the garden for some plants. So
I thought you were going to say a bomb shelter.
Well, you know, I mean, you can go to town, can't you? Building a garden bed to grow some fruit and some vegetables,
sure, yeah,
some herbs. And, you know, the next thing is to build community, to make sure you get to know your neighbor. Because at the end of the day, if everything did turn to shit, it's about community.
And I'd like to just say, you know, build community with your neighbors, great, but also build community with the like-minded people who are everywhere, who are not necessarily your next door neighbor, but they're out there. And that's what the show is about. See, this show and what we've been doing since about 2007 with the Truth Movement, the 9/11 movement, is actually building this network of people.
Yeah, We Are Change is a perfect example.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, those people are our real, you know, friend, our real family, our real brothers, our real sisters. And, you know, I feel honored to have actually made some connections with people, and it's all over the world. It's, you know, it's fantastic. And there's wealth in that too, isn't there, Josh? There's wealth in the community.
Oh, absolutely. You know, people go on about buying gold and silver all the time, which I totally agree with. But, yeah, you know, I've got friends up in up near the Byron Shire who basically, you know, they don't have any money. You know, they're really struggling. They're parents, they've got two kids, and, you know, I mean, they make a bit here with businesses and stuff, and they get by. But the main thing they've found is that building a community and trading with people has made such a difference, because now they're just really nothing really bothers them, because if all everything turned to shit, they've got friends that have cows so they can get milk, they've got friends that have got veggies, they've got veggies, they trade, they move, and they do all that already now. And if you're saying, well, I live in a small apartment in the middle of the city, so did I, and I had a garden on my balcony, just in little styrofoam boxes, you know, yeah, it's not a huge amount, you probably, you know, couldn't, but I mean, if you did it really cleverly, I'm sure you could live on it for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not, speaking for myself, I'm a bit, you know, don't quite do that, but those who do can help those who don't as well. So, you know, everyone's got their thing that they do, okay? And, you know, my thing is kind of doing the website and the radio show and trying to, you know, organize a few events. And, you know, that's kind of my thing.
Yeah, and, you're a teacher.
But, you know, I would actually love to be able to get my hands on some beautiful, fresh, organic vegetables. Mm. But I don't. I'm fine. I'm actually going to the supermarket and I hate it. You know, I've recently moved and I live just across the road from a large Woolworths, and I've actually been getting most of my stuff from there. And, you know, I try to make sure to only buy Australian produce, and I try to avoid anything that might have GM in it, like canola oil and, you know, any products like soy products and stuff like that. So I'm pretty selective, but still, you know, I know that I'm not getting the best food, and it really does, it makes me feel bad. And I think I can do better.
Yeah. We've started going to the markets and get about $50 gets us perfect organic food for a week.
Well, there we have it. But look, before we get lost in the domestic aspects of our mutual lives, I just want to quickly recap some of the key themes I want to talk about tonight. We've got the chaos in the UK, and I just want to have a look at that. I don't think we can provide any penetrating, you know, information as to what it's really about. I just want to observe it, and I want to compare it to what's going on in Syria at the moment, because it's very similar. But in the one case, we've got a bunch of people running around, blowing things up, and killing government and teachers and policemen, and the BBC is calling them protesters. They call them protesters in Syria. I'm not joking. These people throwing hand grenades and machine gunning people. They're calling them protesters. Yeah. And in the UK, there are people running around setting buses on fire, but they're calling them criminals. So I want to talk a bit about that. I want to talk about the mysterious death of SEAL Team 6. And I want to talk a bit about Anders Breivik, the Norway massacre, and some amazing new news for Sydney's 9/11 Truth Movement. Be right back after the break. Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Welcome back to the show. So, as I was saying, I think it is quite indicative of something that is going on in the world, that we're seeing these destabilizing public movements happening in so many different countries. And by the way, this has not been mentioned at all in the mainstream media that I listen to, such as radio and television news, but there is a movement of unrest in Israel as well, and massive protests in Israel. 200,000 or more people have been protesting, but that's actually been kept very, very quiet.
Yeah, that's amazing. Excuse me.
Indeed.
That really is amazing. I saw a bit of that this afternoon.
Indeed. And, you know, I know that a lot of this is genuine, and there's a lot of genuine reasons why people are you know, protesting because of the cutbacks, the price of cost of living going up, the austerity measures that have been brought in so many countries, and that really is actually pushing people to the brink and pushing people to the streets. But at the same time as that, there is this criminal element that is being injected into the same type of phenomena, which is not just a natural emergence. It's because it's a manifestation, I believe, of what we have seen so many times in history, is the paradigm of control, the paradigm of order out of chaos. Because those who wish to impose a far more draconian system of law and control onto society actually have to have something very violent to fight against to bring that about. And so we are seeing it in the UK. And they are saying in the UK that these are, some of them were people who were angry. And there were definitely real riots going on in Tottenham that was triggered by the police actually gunning a man down in the street. Okay, so that was a real event. And of course, the police presence in the UK and the overbearing and overwhelming, you know, police state in the UK has just been getting worse and worse year after year. So there is this anger, right? But at the same time, what's going on now, it's just they're saying it's just people looting and stealing and smashing and burning.
Yeah, the mainstream media are really putting a spin on it, like there's no reason for it, and we're so spun out by why is this happening. It's just a bunch of youths that are angry and pissed off, and they always throw the word anarchy in there. You know, they always say, "Sorry, my dogs are going nuts at something." They always throw the word anarchy in there, like anarchists. Anyone that's sort of free willing or free loving, just hate the government, hate corner shops, and love Molotov cocktails, and love to destroy and mayhem. And this is the picture you get, and it's quite interesting stepping back and seeing the coverage on the mainstream media of these riots.
Well, yeah, I mean, just the stark contrast between the way it's described when it's happening in somewhere in the Middle East, like Syria, where we never even hear the government's point of view on what's happening in Syria. They never even mention it. They only ever interview people who are unsourced and unnamed, who come on the BBC and often talk for 10 minutes at a time about how the government is killing the peaceful protesters, right? And then you'll hear one stray news report that these protesters actually had machine guns and that they were actually gunning down policemen, right? But and these reports are confirmed. I mean, I've actually got sources of my own that are telling me that this is really going on, okay? That there really are criminal elements that are just basically creating mayhem, chaos, right?
And oh, absolutely. I
actually do believe that's also happening in the UK. I do believe that is actually occurring in the UK. But it's just the way in one instance, it's all one way. It's all, you know, peaceful protesters and the government's cracking down on them. And in the other case, they're saying, oh, these are just criminals. Well, it's like a mirror image of yeah. of what the Syrian government is saying about what's going on in their country.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's just ridiculous. The media has become ridiculous. And that, I guess, is my main point. It's just what can we do? It's just the main reason why this show even exists is that the media is such a joke that no matter how amateurish you and me might be, Josh, we can never be as ludicrous as the mainstream media is. We just can't be. We cannot be that ludicrous.
Well, so co-opted. You know, I mean, we absolutely we can. Everyone can be. But, you know, even when it came out that a lot of the rebels fighting in Libya against the against Gaddafi were sympathizers of Osama bin Laden and Al Qaeda and all this sort of stuff, and that quickly gets shut down, and it's all pro these rebels, and you're thinking, hang on a minute, what, why? You know, of course, it's because of the resources.
Yeah, there's a resource issue here, the control of resources, or in some cases, just the ability to manipulate the price of things, and sometimes even driving the price up by creating war and chaos in a region that's actually a strong oil producer. Of course, we saw that's what happened in Iraq. The price of oil skyrocketed after the attacks on Iraq. Because we can only assume because it was too cheap and they weren't making enough money out of it.
Well, they weren't. I mean, the oil that was coming out of Iraq during sanctions wasn't really even that much. You know, so it was all false. It was all inflated, like, you know, all that sort of stuff. It was, you know, the price rises, just they really weren't warranted. But, I mean, you know, the chaos that it created over there. Oh, look, I'm just at a loss of word. When I think about the lies and deception about Iraq, I sort of come up stumps. I stop for a minute and I just think, holy moly, the whole of society, Western society, actually, I mean, not the whole, but, you know, a large percentage just goes along with it, just really honestly believes that we're in there for peacekeeping, and oil prices went up that much because of, you know, because Saddam was doing this and that. And you just become speechless, basically. So, yeah, I'm speechless.
You do indeed. Look, I just want to play a quick clip here from Russia Today. This is some coverage here of what's actually going on in the UK. Quite often Russia Today has some angles on it that we don't get from most of the other media. So let's just have a quick listen to this.
This is the scene in large parts of London this evening. I'm here in Hackney, East London, where the streets are full of police and other streets are full of rioters and looters. Just about 100 metres behind me, a car is on fire. The air here is full of acrid smoke. You might be able to hear the police helicopters circling above me as police try to get control of the situation. There are about 150 people in the street just around the corner. We went round there, but we judged that it was too dangerous to stay. In fact, we could hear people behind us talking about which part of the camera was the most valuable and which bit they would try to get off us. So we beat a hasty retreat from there. Down there is certainly a car, but possibly several on fire. And it's not just here in Hackney. There has been violence in Brixton, and it's also spreading out now to other parts of the country. Croydon, which is probably about 30 miles away from London, big parts of Croydon are on fire. And we're hearing that the violence has already also spread right to Birmingham. There are all sorts of people on the streets here, but it is largely being perpetrated by ethnic minorities, it has to be said, and there's a lot of unrest. This is the night number three, and this is certainly the worst violence that we've seen so far. It hasn't been confined to the hours of darkness. It started at about 3 o'clock this afternoon and has escalated from there. This, as I say, has been going on for three nights, and today I've been visiting the parts of London that had so far been affected, and here's my report from some of those areas.
London's burning. Rioters and police take over the capital for a third night as looters target yet more areas of London in a spiralling cycle of violence.
Probably just leave it there. You can probably get most of that from just watching television. But look, I just want to quickly summarise that what I see is a collection of warning signs that there is something going on here with the recent Norway massacre, with the increasing violence in the UK.
With the increasing, S&P finally admitting they've got a problem.
Yeah, with the S&P finally admitting the problem, with the Middle East, and especially Syria, getting more and more out of control, I see the hand of something that's actually trying to bring this to the end game. But we're going to break. I've actually got a song lined up here for tonight. We haven't had a song from Bobby Dylan for a while. This is actually a live recording of Masters of War from the early 1960s. Really, really beautiful, slow rendition of this song. Bob Dylan singing Masters of War.
Come, you masters of war, you that build the big guns, you that build the death planes, you that build all the guns, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind disks. I just want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but built to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes. Then you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes, and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fastened all the triggers for the others to fire. Then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion as young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can ever be hurled. Fear to bring children into the world. Oh, threatening my baby, unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins. How much do I know to talk out of turn? You might say that I'm young, you might say I'm unlearned, but there's one thing I know. Even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes takes its toll. All the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I'll follow your casket by the pale afternoon, and I'll watch while you're lowered down to your deathbed, and I'll stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead.
I don't know about you, Josh, but I think that song has never been more accurate and relevant than it is now.
Oh, it's just such an amazing song. I think it's one of the first songs I learnt on guitar years ago, and it just...
Well, it's got about two chords in it, but yeah. Look, it's, you know, that song is an essay. That song is a deep analysis. That song is a really very truthful look at what the military machine is really all about. You hide in your mansion while the young people's blood spills out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. The masters of war are these ghouls, these parasites. They're businessmen. They're just businessmen, essentially. They're merchants of death.
Yeah, that's right. And the way Dylan sings, it's almost like this scream of, you know, in the highs of that song, you know, you couldn't my basket, you know, really yelling that out, like,
yeah, because that's all we've got. You see, that's the voice of the people who have, all we've ever had is our ability to scream to our you know, our despair. And
that, instead of basket, it should have been casket. Just
right, yeah.
Yeah, I just sang then basket. Follow your basket.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's definitely a casket. and just before we go off that theme, I've just got an article here from Global Research, August 7. The NATO bombardment of Libya continues relentlessly. More than 6,600 aerial bombings have been conducted against Libya. I mean, that is just staggering. Can you believe that? 6,600 aerial bombings have been conducted against Libya. NATO is also coordinating terrorist attacks conducted by, quote, rebel forces against Tripoli and other Libyan cities. The Libyan television broadcasting buildings were bombed by NATO.
And we all know, folks, like before everyone goes, well, you know, Gaddafi's evil. And look, we all know that people can be removed from office quite peacefully if the people of that country really want it. I mean, we've seen it all over the world. We've seen it countless times where people just stop working. Or they just...
And that's, by the way, that leads me into what I really want to say in this half of the show, is that is what we've got to do, folks, okay? I want peaceful revolution. As Kennedy said, peaceful revolution is what must occur. And those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Those who are opposing peaceful revolution are making the London riots. They're making what we see what we saw in Norway with Anders Breivik gunning down people. They're making, and of course, you know, Anders Breivik, of course, was a maniac and a psychopath. And, you know, aside from any conspiracy theories that I don't subscribe to, and I'm not able to provide you any deep analysis of that. What I do know is that the policies that have been followed by European countries in just bringing immigration, just bringing plane loads of people into these countries does create hatred. It really does. The same thing has happened in Australia. We've had hundreds of thousands of people every year brought into this country. I'm not talking about refugees. I'm talking about people coming in as part of government programs. They're just dumping people into our countries.
Yeah. And I mean, from where I stand on this topic is that, you know, in an economical point of view, people, there's this myth that if you have more people in the country, they take your jobs. But it really doesn't work like that. In fact, more jobs get created, more wealth, more stuff happens. It's just that this fear of other people that look slightly different or different cultures spreads very quickly. And
true, but at the same time, I think, Josh, the ways in which the governments have been forcing immigration have actually been extremely disruptive, have been extremely destabilizing for the economy, for the infrastructure, you know, the lack of electricity, the lack of public transport while they're bringing these people in has really, it's downgrading the quality of life for everyone.
I would say that that's a problem with the monopolization of the public transport system instead of letting the free market deal with it, which would expand quite easily and well and welcome the expansion, because it's, you know, that's what they do. And when you have a business, it's like, oh, I get more customers, you know. That's a whole other topic.
I mean, I personally think that again, the agenda behind this is to swamp countries. And you may think I'm sounding like Pauline Hanson. I don't care, okay? But I think the agenda is to swamp countries that have traditionally had a higher living standard and a basic sense of human rights and basic sense of human freedoms, to swamp those countries with people from other countries who have no sense of those rights, and then to bring us all down to a state of totalitarian, you know, plantation-level slavery. I do believe that is the agenda behind why this is being done. I don't believe there's a noble agenda behind it.
And yeah, I mean, it would be better to be able to say, hey, look how good we're living, you know, why don't you emancipate yourselves in these other countries?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, organically, people don't want to just go to another country. They do it because they're desperate. And these people are really desperate. Yeah. But, I mean, there's also been this false – there's this false, you know, goal of coming to one of these rich Western countries that everyone's drawn to it through all these fake things that we claim that we have, and we don't really. Like, it's not that great, okay? Yes, people don't starve here. That's true. You know, there are certain good things, but I mean, you know, the good things are the things that have to happen organically. I mean, they really have to happen organically. And, you know, some of those good things did happen organically in the past, and that's what we're losing. That's what really concerns me. See, because immigrant peoples tend to always just basically respect the power structure. Because immigrant peoples always feel they've got to adapt, they've got to get along. And, you know, you do get your ghettos, and you do get your groups that do become what they call troublemakers, but most of them aren't. Most of them actually follow the government. And I think it's very different. The reality is very different to what you might get from, say, people who are, you know, right wing, xenophobic sort of people who say that the immigrants come here and they make trouble. No, most of the immigrants come in and they try to adapt. And good on them. You know, they basically want to survive. But the problem is, we have a corrupt, lying, tyrannical, greedy, corporate government, you know,
fascistic blend, like a good coffee.
Yeah, yeah, an evil marriage of all the worst aspects of power in our countries, and they're just manipulating these people. It's really sad. I find it's really sad when people come to this country and they're just getting manipulated. They're getting used, basically, just like the Mexicans in America.
You end up, you know, you hear it all the time. There's a, you know, a foreign taxi driver, and he's like, oh well, I'm a doctor back home, but you know, I can't do anything over here, so I have to become a cabbie, you know.
Yeah.
But look,
folks, we do have to actually bring about this peaceful revolution. As you were saying before, Josh, this can be done in any country.
Well,
we can bring it about.
Sorry, I've got a headache tonight and I'm really not the sharpest of pencils.
You're doing splendidly.
In the bucket tonight. When we had the riots that kicked it all off in...
the ones in Egypt that began
Egypt,
the Arab Spring, as they say.
In Egypt. Yes. You know, there you go. There's a perfect example of a peaceful revolution. And it really didn't change that much. But if they continued with it and they kept on persisting, which they are, I agree with you there.
I think that what happened in Egypt was an organic thing, right?
Mm.
And I think what happened is the evil parasitic elite saw it happening and thought, I can see them rubbing their hands together and going, yes, how can we steer this in a direction that we want? How can we ride this? Because for quite a while, the Egypt thing looked real, genuine, and I do believe it was real. But then it quickly morphed into Libya, didn't it? And then Egypt got left behind, and everything that's happened in Libya has been completely co-opted, completely false, full of lies, full of criminality. Someone was behind that. Someone or some group.
It's an amazing comparison, those two revolutions, and you see it even at the end when you saw people packing up and cleaning the sites peacefully by themselves in Egypt. This is the sort of respect that they had for the land. You had people instantly gravitating to give themselves jobs to protect certain treasures of history in Egypt by standing and guarding museums and such. And from looters, you saw this sort of chaotic, true source of anarchic freedom really step up, and it was sad to see it just sort of peter out, and now it's just another government. The old government's still around, all the same bodies are still there, and
we're not going to let it peter out. There is going to be a peaceful revolution, and the people who listen to the show know it. And you're going to be part of it.
Sick of the lies, deception, spin and half-truths? Well, so are we. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. Tune in every week at truthnews.com.au or subscribe to the podcast with iTunes or your favourite podcatcher.
Our promos are a little bit unbalanced.
Yeah, I just love that one. I love how manic it is, and then we settle you back down into the comfy chair.
Yes, we do.
I'd just like to say that from all the work that Herald puts into this show and stuff, please visit the website truthnews.com.au and comment and subscribe and do all that good stuff and tell your mates about it.
Yeah, please do. And please get involved. We're trying to build a community of people who are going to be involved and contributing. I actually have a really great need. I have a really strong need for someone to help One of the things that I need most, just if there's anyone out there who can help, this is a tough thing though. It's a tough criteria. Not many people can do it, right? And you know, with all best intentions of the world, some people might actually not do a very good job, and I don't want anyone to feel bad about that. Therefore, I only want someone who really knows that they can do it to actually come and approach me. But I want someone who I can work with as a kind of at a producer level to line up interviews for this show. It's a very tedious, time-consuming thing that's got to be done. People have to be contacted, and you have to call back a few times. Maybe you might have to email them, and then they'll randomly get back in touch with you.
It's great work experience for anyone that's wants to volunteer.
It really is
In the field of radio and podcasting and the future of media, if anyone's interested in getting into media.
Yeah, and it's not that it's hard to do. It's just that you've got to be focused, right? And you've got to be reliable with it. So if there is anyone out there who wants to do that, and feels that they can really do it, we want to go long term with this, right? So we really want to get into a good rhythm, so that we've got the interviews lined up for a couple of months in advance, so that we can plan everything out. And I've got so many people out there that I'd like to contact to get on this show. And I just don't have the time. I'm actually, my work day, my week is filled up with working, and it's very hard. That's the time when you need to actually be on the phone trying to contact people, and I just don't have that time. So if there's someone out there who's, maybe you've got kids, or maybe you've got spare time during the week, during the day, that's the time. That's the key time that we need this sort of work to be done. I'll leave that. Leave that one. Another thing I just wanted to say is that we've got an event coming up. We have a film night at the SMSA, the School of what does that stand for? The Mechanics School of the Sydney Mechanics School of Arts in Pitt Street in Sydney, and it will be on the 10th of September. And we will be showing the latest DVD from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. What do you say?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Look, the 9/11 question, the 9/11 question is still the thing that binds us all, because it was the awakening point for so many people. Mm. It was the wake-up moment. Okay, when we saw those planes go into those buildings and we saw those buildings come down, those of us who were slumbering started to wake up. And, we knew something was very, very wrong. And even now, just thinking about it sends chills up my spine.
Mm.
Because something was very wrong. Something was very wrong. There's something going on that's very, very wicked there.
Well, it was so brazen and ridiculously in your face. So as soon as you start, as soon as you open even one eye, one third of an eye, you really start to see a whole lot of problems with that day. So, I think you're right. We need to still stay on top of the 9/11 issue, and not get knocked down by the quacks that come on in and say, oh, there was no planes in any building, or there was beams from space, all this rubbish, and really get down to the hard science, the hard facts of the fact that, hey, buildings don't fall at free fall through the heaviest source of resistance. You don't find scraps and heaps of it, of nanothermite microspheres lying on the ground, if it was a plane. So there's all these questions that really need to be answered, and it's not some conspiracy theory. It's literally just questions. A conspiracy theory takes a whole lot of people to be actually theorizing answers of what happened. Well, I'm not telling you what happened. I'm not saying, hey, this was involved or that was involved or Cheney did it or whatever. That's a conspiracy theory. I'm just saying, hey, what the hell is this hard evidence doing at the scene? what the hell is it doing? And why aren't we asking for answers for that evidence?
Great points. And this latest DVD from ae911truth.org is the best ever. I mean, I've seen the trailers for it. They've basically put together a group of experts, and it's beautifully produced. It's perfectly done. It's done with the highest levels of production quality as well as the highest levels of integrity in terms of the people that they've interviewed. And these are top flight people. These are top experts. And it is basically just it's a series, from what I've seen from the trailer, it's a series of testimonies from these experts. And look, that's it. That's what we've got. We've got the experts who know what's going on, and they are telling the truth as they know it. That's it. That's what we have to use to change the perception of the, unfortunately, brainwashed people who walk about the streets thinking that, well, someone's in charge and the government's doing the right thing and protecting me, and I better not, you know, look at those websites that say those crazy things, because that will unsettle me and I'll lose all my confidence in everything. I'll lose my confidence in the whole world, this whole edifice that I've grown up in.
Well, quite interestingly, the other day I was talking to someone about that,
yeah,
and saying, have you ever checked out the information? And they said, they're like, oh, I don't want to go there because I'm scared that the government's watching.
That is, again, a very, very sad and very indicative, you know, it's an eye-opener in itself.
And this wasn't just some, you know, paranoid schizophrenic. I mean, it was literally just the normal businessman doing his thing. Not anything against schizophrenics or anyone that's got problems like that, but I'm not saying they're abnormal, but I'm just saying this was the ordinary chap on the road was saying this, and that really highlighted to me, like, wow, people are in fear of getting information.
Yeah, and again, folks, and I really want to bring this home. I really want to drive this point home. We've got to stop sitting back and expecting that someone else is going to solve our problems for us. Only we can solve the problems. And as soon as a large enough number of people recognize that, our problems will be solved. It's just that's the truth. The truth is we have failed ourselves, okay? We have allowed this to occur, and we have to roll it back. And it's just an incredible realization when you finally wake up to that.
I mean, this is why I end up going to true personal liberty and freedom without, you know, and this is why I head all the way to an anarchic state, is because we are the only ones that can help ourselves. We can't rely on leaders and governments, because they're all corruptible, and they all just end up helping certain interest groups and not other groups. When if you want to help everyone, well, they need to help themselves.
Yeah, and you know, cliche, but we have to be the change we want to see.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that change won't occur. That's why Gandhi is such a great figure, because he said things like that are just so true. You can't deny it. Somebody has to say it as well. You see, what you're hearing now is me saying it, and hopefully hearing me say it will help you realize it. And that's all part of it.
I've never been happier than when I've now in my life taken liberty on as a true, as a way of life. I know we go on about the government on this show and stuff, but this is for other people's benefit, that they can wake up. In my own personal life, I don't blame anyone for anything but myself. If I don't like how something's happening in my life, I change myself, I change my position, I do something else. by going around constantly blaming other people, all you're doing is building some sort of it's just the easy way to go, right? You just become this entity that can.
Incredibly noble, Josh. Yeah, what you said there. I really, really admire that.
Well, you know, like, it's so simple to blame, and you create this pantomime, this this drama about how, oh, it's Kevin Rudd or it's Julia Gillard, but really it's us.
Let me just give a quick analogy, just for something that this
actually just, not even just, we the people.
Just really quickly, as we're about to wind up, but a quick analogy. Imagine you're being bullied in the workplace, right? Imagine you've got a boss who's just tormenting you, moving the goalposts, giving you conflicting information, putting you down, making your life hard. This happens all the time. It's happening all over the world, in every country. Now, and most people, you know what most people do? They don't do anything. They get angry, they suck it up, they get depressed. Sometimes they quit the job, sometimes they move on, but they don't actually ever speak up or speak back. And guess what? That bully just gets more and more bullying. That bully gets to the point where he or she thinks, well, I can get away with this. I'll increase it. And that's what's happened in the world. We've got bullies who are like our bosses, who are running things, who've never been told to where to stick it. And, you know, if the person before you who had the bully boss had that, the next person who came wouldn't have that problem. But because no one does it, the bullies just get worse and worse.
Yeah.
So remember, 10th of September, we're going to be doing the street stuff with the DVDs, handing out the flyers, and then we're going to have the film on at 7 p.m. on the Saturday night. So it's going to be a full day of amazing truth activities, and we're going to be doing flyer drops and all that kind of stuff.
Wonderful stuff, wonderful stuff. Till next week.
Till next week. Over and out from Truth News Radio Australia.
Adios.